In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the first Sunday of the Holy Great Fast, and at the very beginning, in the first Sunday of the fast, the church arranges for us to read when the Lord is speaking on the Sermon on the Mount to the people about not laying up treasures in heaven. Of course, this is a preparation for the fast, because in the fast we focus on asceticism and giving up the things of the earth, because we want to focus on the eternal and the heavenly things. And the Lord says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And so I want to speak a little bit about disappointments, because sometimes we are disappointed in this life because we have placed such emphasis and we have such treasure and the things that we treasure here on the earth, and that when we do not receive the treasures that it is that we want, because we value them so much, we become so disappointed or even devastated to the point of depression, because sometimes things are taken away from us, or our goals that we set for ourselves in our life are not met. So I want to speak a little bit about disappointment and how this applies to what the Lord is speaking about today. What are some reasons why we might be disappointed on the earth? The earth is corrupted, meaning the earth does not provide for the needs of man. When the needs that God created us to have were perfectly met in the Garden of Eden, and God provided for us everything that we needed, and he created for us a place where there would be no sorrow, where there would be no hunger, there would be no sadness, where everything was completely fulfilled. And yet, because of our sin and our separation from God, the world became corrupted, and it no longer became a place where our needs are met. So for us not to be disappointed in the world, we should set the right expectation that this world is not satisfying or fulfilling. Whatever fulfillment we might experience here in the world is temporary and fleeting, and maybe we have it one day and it's gone the next day. And there are many people who live with all kinds of suffering or illnesses or loss, even up until the day of their death. This is not something that should be surprising to us. It's something that maybe we have observed and seen and experienced ourselves. This is one reason maybe we might be disappointed. We have things that we want in the earth, but the corruption of the world, the system that is in place here in the world, the corruption of sin, is not allowing us to attain those things maybe that are good, that we do want, but yet we have not received. One reason why we might be disappointed. Also, we are disappointed because we have many desires. We have many desires, and actually maybe some of those desires are even sinful desires, and we are constantly seeking after things. Maybe we lack contentment. We're always wanting more, and because we are always wanting more, we feel never satisfied or content with what it is that we have received, and so we are always disappointed, because someone who always wants more is never satisfied with what they have and always seeking to attain and to attain more and to grow themselves more and more and more. And if we are not happy with what we have, we will always be actually in a state of disappointment and in sadness, and our expectations will not be met. A third reason maybe why we are disappointed is because we cannot control the actions of others. Maybe a big part of our disappointment is the actions of other people, what other people say and what other people do or do not do. We want other people to treat us a certain way. We want other people to treat us with respect or with honor, or to grant us something that it is we want from them, or to be a certain way that we want them to be. And yet, maybe this is going also unfulfilled. And so we are disappointed because we cannot control what other people do. Number four, circumstances maybe do not align. The circumstances that maybe I feel are going to bring me the greatest happiness, the circumstances that I wish were different in order for me to be satisfied and fulfilled. Again, the world is not providing us everything that we want. There are many things that are here that are not aligned with my own desires, aligned with my own will, or there is the will and the desires of many other people that are in conflict with mine. Again, maybe I will be disappointed because things are not going the way that I would like. The fifth reason we might be disappointed is we don't have the resources to attain what we want. Maybe if we had more money, if we had more time, if we had more of something, maybe we could attain something that we want, but we don't have those things. And maybe God did not grant us those things, even for a reason. Maybe God is not allowing us to attain those things that we desire. And again, we are feeling disappointment. The thing that we believe is going to bring me the greatest happiness in something that I cannot attain. We don't have the resources to start a business. We don't have the resources to get married. We don't have the resources to build a house. We don't have the resources to get treatment. We don't have the resources. And so we are disappointed because things are not working out the way that we would like. Also, maybe we don't have the time to attain what we want. Maybe somebody needs to go back to school and study and learn to be able to increase their salary, but they can't because they have many responsibilities and many things that are preventing them from being able to do this. We have many different burdens that is placed on us, many responsibilities that we have to attend to on a daily basis, and those are taking all of my time. They're important. They're things that I need to do, and they're taking my time, so I'm not able to do other things that maybe I would prefer or like to be able to do. And so also, again, we are disappointed. Maybe our responsibilities prevent us from pursuing what we want. There's many people who would love to retire early. There are many people who would love to travel the world. There are many people who have all kinds of dreams and things that they would enjoy, and yet they can't do those things because they have to go to work, because they have to provide a living for themselves or for their family. Again, they have disappointments, desires that are going unmet in this world. Also, maybe we are disappointed because we don't know what is best for us. We are disappointed because we seek after things that we imagine and believe are great and amazing and wonderful, and yet maybe they're not. Maybe it's all in our mind. Maybe it's something that we have invented or fabricated, a fantasy that we have created in our own mind. Something is so good and that I'm seeking it, and God is saying, no, I'm not going to give it to you. And maybe we become disappointed or upset or angry even at God because he has not given it to us. But the real answer is, this would harm us maybe if we received it. It would be something that is not good for us if we received it. And so again, maybe we are disappointed. And maybe we pray and we pray and we ask God for all these things, and yet our prayers are going unanswered. And so again, we are disappointed. And maybe we become even frustrated with God and ask him, why is it that you're not hearing me? Why is it that you're not listening or answering my prayer if I'm asking you for this thing that I really, really desire so much, and yet I am not receiving it? The last reason I'm going to mention to maybe why we become disappointed is because even the good things that we have, even the things that we do receive, even the things that we do attain, they do not last. They do not last forever. The things that we have can be taken from us. The things that we have and the people that are in our lives can be taken from us. Our health can be taken from us. Our bodies themselves can be taken. Everything is taken, actually, at one point. And so maybe we are disappointed. And maybe some people live a life of disappointment because everything that we have is gradually taken away bit by bit and piece by piece. And what are we left with? And this is the whole point, actually, of the scripture for today and what Christ is trying to tell us. And he's saying, don't place your treasure on the earth, because in everything on the earth you will be disappointed at one point or the other. It doesn't mean that Christ is saying you will never feel happiness at all. No, but he's saying ultimately, this world does not satisfy or fulfill, and everything even that you have attained and received is something that will not last forever and maybe will be taken from you at one point or at one time. So what is the solution that Christ says? He says, well, place your hope in heaven. Place your hope in heaven and not on the earth. The place in heaven where there is no disappointments, where nothing will be taken from you, where everything will be granted to you that is perfectly fulfilling, that is perfectly good, and that you will be in the presence of God, and there is nothing that God will say no to you in, because actually even your own desires will be sanctified, even your own desires will be perfect, and there is nothing that you would seek even that would be contrary to his will or that would be harmful to you. And we would not have addictions. We would not have lusts. We would not desire the things that are harmful that maybe we do here today, that we desire the things that actually would hurt us. In heaven, we would not even desire such things. But everything that we desire would be perfectly good for us. The Lord said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if our treasure truly is in heaven, then our whole focus will be heaven. Then our whole focus will be on not this life. The focus will not be on how can I amass the most money here? How can I attain the most success here? How can I accomplish all of my goals here? My goal will be heaven. That will be my goal. And the further I go, the happier I will be, the more fulfilled I will be. And the Lord is saying, no one can take this from you. No time will take it from you. No person can take it from you. Nothing will take it from you. But you will have it in abundance, and you will have it forever. And so this is the proposition that Christ is making to the people here on the Sermon on the Mount. He's saying you can either choose the earth, where you will find a lot of loss, a lot of regret. Well, you will meet with a lot of disappointments and a lot of things that you wish you could attain, but you could not. Or you can seek after heaven, and in seeking heaven, you will never lose. You will always win, and you will win in greater amount and greater proportion than you can ever imagine. Christ also said, in preparing us for these disappointments, he says, trust that God's will is good for you. He says, trust that God's will is good. Even if the things that you desire here in the world you cannot attain, instead of being so upset at the loss, at not being able to receive what it is that you want, trust that God knows what he's doing. Trust that things maybe don't look the way that you think. Trust that God knows what is good and what is right for you. Also, he said in the same chapter, if you seek the spiritual things, God will fulfill all of your needs. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We see this example actually in King Solomon, when God gave King Solomon the opportunity to ask for anything. And in King Solomon asked for wisdom so that he could govern his people. And the Lord responded kind of very favorably to him and essentially told him, because you have asked for wisdom, because you have asked for something good, I will grant you wisdom and I will grant you everything else, wealth and power and everything else. So the Lord is saying, if you seek me, then I will grant you everything. You don't have to worry about your life. You don't have to worry about what is good for you. Just seek the spiritual things, seek the eternal things, and I will grant you everything, even the physical things, even the things that you need now in the world, even the things that you desire now in the world, I will grant them to you. Also, the Lord wants us to realize that our understanding is limited. I always say this verse in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Do we really know what is good for us? Do we really know, like, maybe even if we received the object of our desire, the thing that is making us perpetually disappointed, maybe even if we received it, it would be harmful for us. So the Lord is asking us to trust in him. Also, he's asking us to be content. In 1 Timothy 6, it says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. If we do not learn to be content, then no matter what it is we receive, we will still be yearning and longing for something else. Maybe we'll be satisfied with it for a time when we receive it, but very soon we will lose our interest in it. Maybe many of us have experience with this. Someone who has been waiting for a job for a long time, they get the job and they're very excited about it for a time, but after a while it starts to lose its luster. And it starts to feel boring and routine, maybe not as interesting as it was. Or a relationship, or a friendship, or any object, anything that we purchase that maybe at the beginning is very exciting, but after a while, we just don't really, are not interested in it anymore. If we are not content with the things that we have, then we will never be content, even if God were to grant us every desire that we have. Also, the Lord does not want us to become obsessed with worldly accomplishments. He speaks about how we are sojourners, travelers. We are not here permanently. We are here only for a time, and not to set up camp here and to place roots here in the world, because we are not going to be here forever. St. Peter says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Don't indulge your flesh. Don't let your flesh be rooted here in this life, but instead be light, be like floating and flying above the world. Don't be so rooted here to where we are unable to leave this place, that we are grasping it, we are holding on to it, and we are unable to move past it. Always feeling disappointment and sadness because we have not been able to attain, or we want to attain even more than we have. So this is a very good beginning to the Great Fast, which is a period of asceticism, where essentially we are telling God, we don't need these things. We don't need food. We don't need all these things that we are giving up during the fast, because the only thing that we need is you. The only thing we want is you. And so we want to grow in our spiritual life and focus on our spiritual life during this time, and focus less on the things that regard the body. Isaac the Syrian said, blessed is the man who makes himself deaf to every pleasure that separates him from his creator. Meaning we leave behind the pleasures of the world. We remind ourselves that these things do not belong to us, and that we are only here for a time, and there's no point in investing in something that is about to go bankrupt. There's no point in placing our money, our energy, our effort, our heart, our mind, our thoughts, all of this investing into something that is about to go bankrupt, something that is perishing, something that is falling away. And the Lord tells us, if we seek first his kingdom, then God will grant us everything else. And glory be to God forever. Amen.